the McDonald's Lanky Trail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Realm Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
La 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 la.
Correct, coach?
Yeah.
Yes. Smile on your face. You're in the Christmas spirit.
Yes.
No, you're in the spirit for school vacation.
That'll be nice too.
Yeah. Welcome to another exciting rendition of the Viking Realm Ball Podcast. It's episode number 52. Recording this on Monday afternoon, December the 14th. It's presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur. Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston, whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Well, another good and productive week for the Vinton County Varsity Boys Vikings as they notch another two wins in their war chest. Two wins this past week, two wins the week before. That's 4-0.
Yeah, it's playing two games a week. The way we've got it worked out is kind of nice, too. It's spaced out. We haven't had any Friday, Saturdays yet. We will have some, but kids are getting a little bit of a rhythm or routine playing the Tuesday, Fridays.
Well, you know, whenever you win four games and you lose none, that is good.
Yes, as like they say in Bull Durham, winning, it's better than losing.
Okay, all three listeners we just had are gone.
Yes, gone. They're gone now.
Oh, we'll talk about these two. Honestly, not to blow too much sunshine around you, but not only two victories, but two very important TVCYI wins with a very impressive victory, not only against Athens this past Tuesday night, December the 8th, but also a real nice win at home this past Friday night against the Alexander Spartans. As preseason opinions seem to be that those two we're both going to be very formidable competitors in the TVC Ohio League. We'll run down those games here shortly. Also, got a couple games to talk about coming up. Of course, tomorrow night on December the 15th, you travel up to Buchtel to take on the Nelsonville York Buckeyes, a young team, but a team that right now is undefeated.
Yes.
Undefeated. And then no game this coming Friday night, but you have a home date coming up this Saturday.
Actually, on the road against Logan. We had to switch it because we have a wrestling invitational on Saturday.
So that game's on Friday.
What's that?
The game against Logan's on Friday.
No, it's at Logan. We play them twice this year.
So my bad.
Yeah, we just flipped them. Originally, it was scheduled, and I'm glad you said that, Carl, because some people's schedule may still say that.
It says, yeah.
But that game is at Logan on Saturday night, 5:00 start for freshmen. But we have that all day. If you're a wrestling fan, we have a wrestling invitational the 19th at home all day long, 15 mm-hmm. teams coming in. So obviously we couldn't have a basketball game in the same facility that night.
Right.
So since we play Logan twice, we just flip dates. So
okay.
We will play them on the road first. So two road games this week.
Okay. And Saturday up at Jim's Gym in Logan, that is a triple header, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Right? At 5:00. Okay. That'll be interesting because I'm hearing some good things about Logan. Of course, first year longtime coach. First year at Logan, Gary Kellogg, who actually won, of course, you remember that very well, won the state back in 08.
Yep, 08.
Year you guys won the district and played them in the regional semi. So we got that to talk about. We got an interesting guest. We've had him on before. But, you know, you just can't squeeze everything out of this guest in one interview. it's like a book series project.
Oh, just so diverse, full of knowledge.
I don't know if I got that far. No, he's obviously he's grown up a little bit. Actually, one of your former players, 2006 graduate?
Yes, 2006.
2006 graduate. Then he was on your bench as the freshman coach for, three or four years.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years there he was with us.
I think he left in 2010, 2011, somewhere in there.
Somewhere around there. All the years were running together. Yeah, he was probably with us. He volunteered. you know, a year there or two helping out, and then became the freshman coach and was with us for 3 or 4 years there.
Yeah, so when John Royster left his JV and we promoted Travis from freshman to JV,
right.
Gage Sowers, who, by the way, now we end the suspense, that's who we're talking about. Gage took over as freshman coach. Then he moves out to Carmel, Indiana, suburb of Indianapolis, a very affluent suburb, and somehow talks his way into a job as the middle school, I think he's the eighth grade coach.
Yeah, you know, and it's going to be interesting talking to Gage today because I'm not sure. I want to find out for sure what level he's coaching at now. I know he has coached at the junior high level, and I think that's what he's still doing, but we'll find out when we speak to him today.
Yeah, and I think he is too. But the thing that, not to belittle the middle school level, at this school district, and I think Creekside is the name of the middle school that he coaches at. Carmel is a very, very big suburb, very affluent. It's probably, to put it in perspective, it's kind of the Dublin,
right.
As Dublin is to Columbus or New Albany is to Columbus,
right.
Carmel is to Indianapolis. Very affluent. And I know at one time, I don't know if it's still the case, he was telling me that in their eighth grade, just at that school alone, they have 3 8th grade teams.
Right.
So that gives you an idea.
And still had to cut. And he told me about that. I remember when he first started out, was amazed at the amount of kids he had tried out.
Yeah. And I think that one year he told me, and I'm sure we'll get into it here shortly, like his starting five was like 6'4", 6'3", 6'3", 6'1", 6'.
Yeah.
And we're talking about middle school kids. So
yeah.
it's a kind of a unique situation. But we'll talk to Gage. And last time you and I really hung out with Gage was at his wedding.
Yeah, that's been what?
Last year? October?
Was it? Oh, yeah, I guess it was. It was last football season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
It was a good wedding.
Yeah, so he's been. We'll talk to him about being married for a little over a year, seeing how that's going for him. But he's doing well for himself. You know, it's always good to see somebody, whatever they decide, whether it's right here locally or going out somewhere else, being successful.
Yep. I tell you what, let's get into ball games. Last Tuesday night, December the 8th, over at Athens at the McAfee, a game that I think you shared this, you know, even though Athens lost a ton of athletes, just the fact you're playing over there, they're the defending TVC Ohio champions. You got the Lutz kid, who's very highly acclaimed, and you guys go over there. And I mean, the final score, Vinton County 83, Athens 48, but it was just a consistent four-quarter drumming. And that's not to take any shots at Coach Skinner or the Bulldogs. Great program, but you just had to be very, very happy, especially with the performance of Jared Albright, who just absolutely lit it up with 32 points for your Vikings.
Yeah, it was one of those nights, and if you're lucky enough, you might get these nights a couple times a year where you just come out and everything you shoot goes in the basket, and we shot, I'm sure, a phenomenal percentage in the first half, especially. When those things happen, when you get a kid feeling it early like Jordan was, and then of course, you know, Tristan was able to get to the basket. Tristan Bartow and Derek Jones hit a couple shots there in the first half, and when you get going like that, that's one of those rare nights where you just enjoy it, I guess, because you know they don't come along every day. But, yeah, I mean, it was one of those situations where we got off early and just started rolling and kind of put Athens behind the eight ball. I mean, obviously, they're a solid basketball team, and you know, if I guarantee if we go out there and play them 10 times, that's not the final score every time.
You know,
I mean, we got it going that night, and we were glad to have done that, but I mean, it was a good performance, but I think I was more pleased with some of the other areas because you know you're not going to shoot that way all the time. But I thought defensively we played well. Lutz is a hard kid to guard. He still got 20 some points.
You got 20, 21 or 22 points.
Yeah.
Basically matched Tristan's points.
Yeah, he's gonna. And I said this. He'll fall out of bed and get 20 points in a game this year. He's just that type of player, and he's gonna be assertive enough to get that many. I think the other on Saturday, somebody told me he had 38 points and 14 rebounds against Chesapeake and in a close loss there. So he's going to get his points. We tried to make him work hard for him. But I thought as a whole, I just thought the team played with a lot of urgency and really came out hard and aggressive early.
Other stats for the game, you guys, like you talked about, Beyond the Arc, were 8 of 13 for 61%. You actually were had a higher shooting percentage from Beyond the Arc at 61% than you did from the field at 50%. You go 19 of 28 for 67% from the charity stripe. Other scores, Derrick Jones has 14, Austin Ward with 2. Of course, we mentioned Albright with 32, Bartow 21, Bo McIntyre with 6, Caleb Montgomery with 2, Chase Wood with 5, and Bryce Dameron with 1. You guys only turned the ball over 5 times. 5 times, wow. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we hope that we're going to be a team that doesn't turn the ball over a ton with our experience at guard. But at the same time, we play sort of quick. So, you know, it's easy to turn the ball over some. So, yeah, that was another stat we were very, very happy with.
Well, good win there. And then, of course, this past Friday night, you have Coach Jim Kearns and the Alexander Spartans coming to your place. Another pivotal TBC Ohio clash is, you know, they got you over at their place late last year at the Alley. And I know that was a loss that stung quite hard for you. In fact, as I kind of, before this season started, I look back on last year's schedule and, in my opinion, I'm not saying it was the total fall or anything like that, but that loss at Alex last year, I don't want to say you didn't get over it, but it was a loss that it kind of hurt the momentum of the team. And I know it was kind of a game that could have gone either way, and it one of those losses that just hurt a little bit more than the rest of them. But you guys come out start out very strong as you outscore the Spartans 13-3 in the first quarter, and en route to a 66-47 win. I think probably Coach Kearns, after watching or hearing stuff about you guys in Athens, really wanted to put the kibosh on Jordan Albright and also Tristan Bartow, but really the bigs came alive for you, and that's something that's kind of been of question as far as you know, Chase Wood, Sean Cottle, and Bo McIntyre and specifically, but they come alive and combined score 25 points for you as Chase gets 14, Bo has 10, and Sean gets 1. So you had to be very happy not only with your guard play and overall defense, but the big guys, the post players, really gave you a good little lift.
Yeah, they did. You know, and we've talked about it. We hope we're going to be the type of team that can be diverse enough to score in some different ways, you know, from night to night, because obviously we know, you know, our guards sort of make us go, but there's going to be nights where teams do a good job against them. Maybe they don't shoot as well, whatever the case may be, and in those situations we need others to step forward. I thought our post did a nice job getting some points for us. Our guards did a nice job getting into the lane, avoiding charges, which Alexander does such a nice job of taking, and able to find our post to give them some easy scoring opportunities. So part of it was, you know, were our guards doing a nice job penetrating. But yeah, defense. You mentioned defense. I think that's the one thing that jumps out. I mean, obviously they're a great defensive team. Alexander is. They just have been for the last 2 or 3 years. They just do a great job guarding you, and you know, so offensively we were pleased with our output, but I was really happy with our defense. I thought we played with a lot of energy. I thought we were really swarming around, flying around on D, and we had a tough second quarter. The Chapman kid got going, hit a couple shots against us, and we had a couple transition situations where we didn't get back and didn't close things down, and so the second quarter was a little rough defensively, but I thought as a whole our defense was really good. And like you said, some of our guys, our role players and our bigs, really stepped forward for us. There was a play right at the end of the second quarter where Sean Cottle
passed.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that was a big play because we're getting ready to go to the locker room up 4 after being up 10.
Was that a drawn up set?
No. Well, actually, we had ran a set that just blew up that we couldn't get in. And Tristan kind of got stuck and just threw it out top to Sean, and Sean whipped that quick pass inside, and we got the and one, and that's a huge momentum swing.
With like
the difference
0.2 seconds left on the clock.
It's the difference in going in up 4 with no momentum and up 7 with a lot of energy and momentum, and I thought that was a big play.
Yeah, that was. I mean, like you said, in the second quarter, they came out, and you knew that they were going to have their runs. Those just happen when you have two good teams, and they made a run, and about halfway through the second quarter, I think a light bulb kind of went off in your kids' head, and you kind of, you know, answered the bell, so to speak. And then, like you said, that great assist from Sean Cottle, and it was just a snap pass. And to that point, it's good to see Sean having not played the last two years?
Right, right.
Last 2 years, didn't play a lot of little league ball. And how he's starting to feel more comfortable. You notice that those nerves, he's not as jumpy and anything like
right.
that. And boy, he's such a strong kid. I know that there was one, he got another kid from Alexander was going up a rebound, and Sean was in, had position on him in the third quarter, and Sean literally just picked this kid up like a rag doll, and it's just a testament to how much of a load he is. He is yeah. a strong young man.
Yeah, they were wrestling for the ball, and I mean. Both of them held on to it. I mean, Sean's just he's a strong kid. Obviously, anybody watching him play football knows his upper body strength and what he's able to do. And like you say, he's getting more comfortable in basketball. He's got a ways to go yet because he's missed that time, but he's getting comfortable. And he's one of these kids, and we've got several of these, but he's one of these kids that's really accepted his role to this point. And we talk a lot about it. These kids get sick of hearing me talk about it because I talk about it at least once a week, if not twice a week, about how you know, we're going to go as far as really our unselfishness takes us. I mean, when you play on a team like we've got, everybody's got to sacrifice something, whether it's playing time, a couple minutes here and there, whether it's shots. There's only one ball and to go around. And, I mean, if you know, we've got several guys that can score. So, you know, you're going to have to check your ego at the door if we're going to be any good. And so far they have. And Sean's one of those guys. And we've got some other ones like Caleb Montgomery and guys like Tyler Barnett, and guys that play a role for us, and even guys off on our bench like Austin Ward, who's a senior, that you know just understands where he's at and what he's doing. I mean, that's important to your team's success.
Yeah, I'm sure that I'm preaching to the choir, but even with a role player or a kid that doesn't get a lot of playing time, if you've got a, for lack of a better word, cancer, you have a kid that's got a chip on their shoulder or that's constantly whining and bitching behind your back or to the other kids, it's got to have a very negative effect very quickly. Not only to you know the other role players, but also the starters, because it creates animosity, I guess.
Yeah, I mean it's just bad all the way around. It's got several layers to it. You know, you get kids not feeling comfortable around other kids. Your locker room's not as comfortable as a place where you can just sort of be open and honest. And and then obviously it even filters into the crowd because you have parents upset and we're fortunate that we don't have that. We have a good group of parents and we have fans that are excited about watching us. I mean, our first two home games have been packed houses, you know,
with
Jackson. And then I think it was even a little bigger, just a hair bigger crowd, at least from a financial standpoint, just a hair more the other night against Alexander. So, you know, it's nice for the kids to get to play in front of that. And I think people appreciate watching unselfish play. And I think so far that's what our kids have done.
Kind of off the beaten track, but to that point, you're in, what, 17 years here at Vinton County?
This is my 16th.
16 years at Vinton County, and prior to that, of course, at Scioto-Ville, Easton, Portsmouth. Do you feel, as a coach that's had quite a bit of a good fortune, had a good winning record, things like that, when you made the comment of kids complaining and how that filters into the crowd or parents, is it a lot easier for you now to deal with that type of dynamic than it was, say, in 2001 when you were just getting your feet wet into coaching?
Oh, yeah. I think just having the experience, and you get older and you're just not as insecure, you know, so
right.
you believe what you believe and this is the way it's going to be and you just do it. I think when you're first starting out as a coach, you're trying to prove yourself. And sometimes it's hard to balance everything. So, but I've been very fortunate here, like you said. You're someplace 16 years. I've had to deal with some things like that. But honestly, not to the extent you would think. I mean, I could count on one hand probably the times I've really had to deal with that type of thing. You know, and so I've been fortunate here that the kids have been good. And I think a lot of it is our coaching staff, top to bottom, from you know, seventh grade all the way up through. We've always stressed that so much and preached that. They know that that's sort of the cornerstone of our program, is that surrender me for we attitude like we have on our wall in our locker room. That's something we really believe in.
Of those handful of occasions that you had to deal with it, and I don't want to know specifics, but just as a overall thesis, how do you tend to deal with it as a coach when a parent or a kid comes into your office and says, I want to talk?
Yeah, I think you have to – I think you have to be empathetic to an extent. You have to have some, you know, you have to look and say, okay, this person's a parent. They love their son. You know, I get it. But at the same time, you know, I have to let them know that, that I have a bunch of kids to worry about, not just the one, you know, and we're going to, and ultimately we can discuss it and we can agree to disagree and share ideas, but I think they understand. And I, you know, I try to make it clear that ultimately I'm going to do what I got to do. And, you know, this, I've dedicated a lot of my life to this program and I'm going to make the final decisions on what we do. And, but you know, I think most people appreciate the open communication and so, you know, it's not the end of the world if you end up having to have one of those conversations. You just go through it, you know.
It's good advice, and it's something that every school district, every team, every community, they deal with all the time.
It's part of it.
And we'll get the input and opinion of one of your, not only your former players, but former coaches. Maybe we'll talk about him and what goes on in the ritzy of Fluids area, you know. He's just a Mount Olive boy from Richland Township or Jackson, whatever the hell he's from. We'll talk to former player and former coach of Vinton County, Gage Sowers, up next on the Viking Realm Ball Podcast. Back on the Viking Realm Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Be it before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Episode 52, take date, is December 14th. 2015, the Vikings are 4-0. Coach Combs is not quite yet ready to be institutionalized.
Give it time.
And just to make matters even better, we're bringing him in live from Creekside Middle School in Carmel, Indiana. Is that correct there, Gage Sowers?
That is correct.
Oh, yeah. It's just so sweet to hear your voice. Another rough day of teaching. I know you got a game tonight, so you're probably a ball of nerves. And what a better day for two old friends to get in touch with you on a game day. How you been?
Oh, you know, I've been better.
you told us off air. It's the season. You know, like any coach, there's good ones and bad ones, and you're having a little kind of a rocky time this year, huh?
Yeah, started out 2-5, and. Our five losses are by a combined 22 points. So we're competing. We just we can't put it all together for four quarters. And that's been a little irritating.
For those of our listeners that don't recall, Gage Sowers was a 2006 graduate of Vinton County, played for Coach Combs, and then went on as a volunteer assistant coach, and then became the freshman boys coach here at Vinton County. What years were you the freshman coach, Gage?
Let's see. I was a volunteer assistant 2 years out of high school, and then that third year, I was a freshman coach for four seasons.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was about four seasons.
A while.
And just for the record, I'll tell you what I recall about Gage's senior year. We lost about six games by a combined 18 points. So
there's a common denominator in this.
There's an X factor.
And to that point, Gage, and I know you're subscribed to the podcast, and you know, you say without all the dorky, you know, stupid stuff we do, actually it's got some genuinely good content. But if you recall, a couple weeks ago, I actually went out and got Amy Combs to do an interview with us, and she was reminiscing about the bad losses and bad seasons, and that was at the top of her list of the worst time she's had with Coach. She didn't know the year. She just said, I just remember they lost like six games straight by a combined, you know, 12 points, and how bad that was. So to that point,
I'm glad that I could test their marriage.
we appreciate it.
That was probably one of about 30 times me and you have single-handedly tested their marriage, but that was at least on the topic of basketball and not some other.
Hey, speaking of marriage, how's that? You've been married a little over a year now. Things going well for you guys?
It's going the exact same. She still bosses me around the same as she did before we got married. So,
and you still
a lot of difference.
Well, you are overachieving. I mean, she's a fantastic lady. She's pretty, smart, educated.
Well, I've always gotten the best out of my abilities.
So. Yeah, you outputted the coverage, but talk to us a little bit. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you, I know Carl's got some, but. You've been over there now for a few years. It seems like for a few years that you've been there coaching. Coaching basketball in that district. Obviously, we talked a little bit before you came on the air about some of the differences, obviously, in that school district and here. you know, obviously you're at a large district in a affluent area. Have you been able to figure out over the last few years things that I'm sure there's things about that that you like that you think are a lot better than here at Vinton County when you coached? But I'm guessing there's some things at Vinton County that you liked better too. What just explain some of the differences in the two jobs?
Oh yeah. Well, one of the biggest things that's challenging coaching here is that my 3 years, well, 4 years now that I've coached here, I've had anywhere from 60 to 80 kids try out for 16 spots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just that many kids in a gym by alone is stressful, let alone trying to assess them. So I've had to kind of develop some things as so I can evaluate them fairly. So I've had some kids where, you know, shirts with their last names on the back. So I don't have to ask them what their name is. And so I've gotten kind of used to that. But, yeah, there's, like you said, there's a huge pool to pick from. I have 1,600 kids in our middle school, grades 6, 7, and 8. And up until 7th grade, they have, you know, all these avenues where they can play basketball. They have, you know, the equivalent of Bob Grillo's youth league. They have that. They have a Carmel Dads Club. They have Carmel Pups, which is kind of like their premier travel team that's picked and evaluated by the high school coaches. So that's one of the positives, that these kids have no excuses in terms of not being ready to play by the time they get to be, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th grade. So they have all the you know, access in the world to a gym and to an organized league.
Yeah.
Gage, you know, obviously when you're dealing with that many kids, I take it it's a little different than having, what, max 15, 16 kids coming out for a freshman team at Vinton County. But with that being said, I take it your organizational skills have had to improve. And I'm not taking shots at you. I mean, you got that many kids and that many sets of parents and an affluent school district that you've got to kind of, it's probably a little bit more than just coaching, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, our school system set a pretty high standard, pretty high expectations. So, you know, parents are sometimes can be a little unreasonable. Most of the time, they're great. This season, I've got a great group of parents, which has kind of helped, you know, alleviate some of the shortcomings this team has had. But, yeah, my organizational skills prior to this were not very stellar. So I had to take a crash course almost immediately, day one, when I had 75 kids to jump.
Right.
So, so are you now you're still coaching. You're coaching both 8th grade teams. Is that correct? Or tell us what you're doing, just so I know for sure.
I'm with the 7th grade.
7th grade, but you coach them both.
So we have a JV and varsity. I'm the 7th grade head coach, and then my assistant coach coaches the JV game.
Oh, okay.
Do you sit on the bench with him?
Yes.
Do you practice together?
Yeah,
okay, so everything's basically, as far as base offense, sets, all that's pretty much consistent, right?
Yeah, and we're one of three middle schools in our district. So prior to the season, we communicate with Carmel's head coach, Carmel High School head coach, and he kind of tells us some of the things that he wants, like drill-wise, wants us to do. If there's a base offense, base defense, he wants us to run, and then he gives us freedom outside of that. So, you know, we play one of our rivals, another one of Carmel's middle schools tonight. So these two very similar teams using very similar, you know, offense and defense. So it should be pretty interesting.
You know, what's interesting about that is, so you have 60, 70 kids, whatever, come out for 7th grade basketball. You end up having to keep 16. Well, then, you know, if you're a player, you really got to feel in a way for some of these kids, because if you're sort of marginal, you know, one, you're probably not even making that top 16, but let's say you make that top 16, you make your junior high team, all of a sudden you get to high school then, and if I'm understanding you correctly, you've got 48 more kids that have, or you've got 48 total kids if every school's keeping 16, who are coming in, and now you start all over again trying to make the team as a freshman. So I think you told me there's more than one freshman team, maybe. Did you tell me that once, or?
Yeah, they have a freshman varsity and JV. Now, the freshman JV schedule is significantly smaller. than the freshman varsity schedule, just because there's not a lot of area teams that have that.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, the good. I mean, that's like you said. That could be a bad thing where kids are constantly looking over their shoulder. Or it could be also a good thing if they have to compete every single year for a spot.
Oh, sure. I think as a program, it's as a head. If you're the head varsity coach there, then you love it because you've got kids competing hard just to make the team. But I as a parent, I can imagine if my son was just sort of average and I'm thinking, oh gosh, you know what I mean? But, I'm sure there's some really good intramural programs, things like that around that area for kids that aren't good enough to make their high school teams too.
Right. Yeah. There are several leagues. I mean, that's what I tell some of the kids that are kind of on the bubble that didn't quite make the team. I tell them that, there's so-and-so league that they can play in this season, and then over the summer to get better and try out again next year.
Well, Gage, one question on the topic there that Coach was asking about all these kids. I mean, do you see, is there a big climate of transferring out or transfers in Indiana compared to, or at least within the Carmel City School District as compared to, say, Ohio and how things work over here?
Right. Probably more so in this district, just because, just in probably a 15-mile radius, I would say there are anywhere from 12 to 15 high schools.
Wow.
And, a couple that are public, a majority of them are private. So you guys know as well as I do some of the recruiting that goes on with us in private universities, in private high schools.
Right, right.
So just for instance, a private high school down the street, starting varsity are three sophomores that played for me as seventh graders.
Yeah.
So like you said, the coach would love it that he has this huge pool to pick from and that's super competitive and you've got all these athletes, but at the same time you got to kind of watch that you're making some kids, you're keeping some kids happy,
Right, because if a kid thinks, wait a minute, where do I fit in? I'll just go down the street to this private school. and with some of the resources parents have there, they can afford to do that and right. Whatnot. That's an interesting take. Do you jumping from basketball for a second, tell us, because I know, jobs change from time to time. I know what you were doing the last time we talked. What professionally, teaching wise, right now, where are you at? What are you doing?
I'm with eighth graders this year, so I teach eighth graders that are two or three grade levels below where they need to be.
Right.
So just kind of some remedial math, remedial language arts, and then in their science and social studies classes, I'm inclusionary support for them. So I kind of provide organizational support, additional study materials, things of that nature.
Okay, great, great.
Outside of Coach and myself and Terry Hale, what are the other things that you really miss about being back over here in Benton County, Gage?
I had a great time coaching there. Not often do you get to hear the better of the Knox brothers, the soothing voice on the PA. And
ooh,
the game.
Touché.
Yeah, but then you get the visuals of the younger Knox brother across the way looking at you. So,
you get the best of both worlds in there.
Yeah. You haven't ripped your pants in a game situation yet over there, have you, Gage Bobs?
No, I haven't. I did blow my dress shoe out 2 years ago, though.
Is that as a result of a stomp or just you being too cheap to afford good shoes?
I think a scorer's table may have gotten in the way.
Yeah. I hate those moving scoring tables.
Yeah.
Seems to be everywhere.
Rollers. Yeah.
Yep. Well, I tell you what, before we get you out of here, we're still waiting. Matt and Coach and I are still waiting. The phone has not rang. And this is just very consistent of Gage Sowers. And you're going to have to come over here. There's a gazillion and one golf courses. And my wife won't care if you guys just lay around the apartment for a week and eat our food and, make fools of yourself. And we'll play golf. We'll do it, guys. I'll be calling you. And we're still waiting. What's up with that?
Well, I don't don't think Indianapolis has recovered since you guys came to my wedding.
Yeah, hey, as I was going to ask you on that same point, is it too early for you and Leslie to renew your vows and have a big reception at the same hotel?
I don't know. It may not be too early for like society standards, but I think it's too early for the upkeep of my body.
That was a fun reception. That was great. We had a blast.
That was a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that.
But hook us up with some golf next summer, will you?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right.
Gage, always a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck to you, my friend, and tell the better half of the Sowers family over there in Carmel that we said our condolences.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, see you, Gage. Take care, man.
See ya.
Coach Gage Sowers, one of your former coaches. Man, I'll tell you what, some things never change. You know how you can go like a long time and not talk to a guy, and it's just like nothing ever happened. But always good to hear the stories of people that's been on your staff and seeing how they're moving on in their life. And a lot of the things it's very flattering what he's doing, but there's a lot of situations with the enrollment and the amount of kids. There's a lot of aspects of what he's doing. I don't really envy him.
Yeah, I've always wondered that. I think I grew up going to a relatively small school, graduated with 99 kids, and basically coach at a school now that's a little larger than that, but not what you would call just enormous. I don't know that I would fit in real good to a huge school like that, but it's interesting to hear that take.
No, I don't know. I think it would be tough, I think it would be for lack of a better word, it'd be a balancing act.
Yeah, I kind of like I'm partial, like I said, but I kind of like the smaller community where you sort of know everybody but to each their own. It sounds like Gage is really taking off and doing well over there.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, before we get out of here, let's just go ahead and talk about the two games coming up here this week. Tomorrow night, December the 15th at Nelsonville. Nelsonville graduated a ton of players. I know they got some youth, but they got some size. What all can you tell us about Jay Klein's Buckeyes?
Well, Jay runs a good program. I mean, he's been there a long time, and so where a lot of programs get killed by graduation, obviously he's anticipated this, has some kids come in and doing a nice job. I mean, he still has the Edwards kid who played varsity last year, who's one of the better guards in our league, and then the Aaron Davis kid in the post now just kind of a banger and does a nice job there. And I've been impressed with his role guys that can shoot the three and do some things like that. And they're going to play with a lot of energy. They're going to play hard. You can bet your bottom dollar that. It seems like we always have to go over there early in the year, and every time we do, they're having a good season when we get there, and they're playing with a lot of energy. So I'm sure it'll be a good crowd, and they'll be excited. And we're going to find out about our kids. We had a good week last week. Are we going to rest on that, or are we going to come back to practice today, get after it, and play with that same urgency tomorrow? So hopefully we do.
As you did say, they're off to a good start as they start out 3-0 with victories over Fed Hawk, Amanda, and at River Valley. They beat Fed Hawk, which is way down this year, 57-33. They beat Amanda by two at their place, 52-50. And on the road down at River Valley, they take care of the Raiders, 56-48. But they're getting into the meat of their schedule as they have you and Alex coming up this week. And then, of course, we talked Saturday night, right? No, Friday night.
No, Saturday night. Saturday night at Logan.
Saturday night at Logan. Talking about the Chieftains.
Yeah, I mean, we're still, I've been so focused on game to game. I haven't watched a lot of film yet. I have some, and we're going to see him play. But I know a lot about Coach Kello, obviously, and what kind of style he likes to play. And
he coaching at Zane Trace when you were playing?
Yeah, yeah. And he's always, taught good man-to-man fundamentals. He does a good job in his run and jump pressure. He's coached different offenses over the years, He was a different style coach at Zane Trace than he was, obviously, when he had Humpty Hitchens and those guys. When you have talent like that, you're going to let him go a little bit, turn him loose a little bit. But he's done a good job wherever he's been, obviously. And, I know that they got beat early in the year by Uniota, which you can't really judge them on that. And then they've had some good wins, a big win against Marietta. And they're a good program, good team. And obviously, anytime you go on the road to play a Division I program with good athletes. You know, people have seen us play Logan. It's a challenge every year, so we expect it to be Saturday.
Well, and I know they're obviously, I think I would be my opinion that they are very much looking forward to the challenge of playing you guys, as you are now ranked pretty high in the Southeast District as far as P. Floyd's poll and Southeastern Ohio Preps. I've seen Logan. I've seen their personnel at both the Jackson game as well as the Alexander game. So they've been keeping their eye on you, and I'm sure they'll be ready, and that'll be a good test. And one other thing, just to make it you worry even more, but I know up at that gymnasium, one thing I've always said is their rims are tight. It's a hard environment to shoot in.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone's got to shoot it, but yeah.
People have told me that. I think a lot of it is we've played some really good teams in the tournament, obviously, there, and that's a challenge. But, you know, we've had some success there, in the tournament, and then a couple times against Logan over the years. But it's like anything else. I told our guys this year, you know, I don't really care where we play, when we play, who we play. I'm just worried about how we play, and that's going to be kind of the thing. We're really trying to take the process day by day and just do it right, you know. And if we do that, we feel like most of the time things will work out for us.
Okay, well, good luck tomorrow night at Nelsonville, and good luck Saturday night against Logan. And then next week we'll be back as you guys head into the SVC portion of your schedule, which I know you tend to favor because it's close to home, short driving distance for you.
Yeah.
What do you got? Southeastern.
We go over the break, just so people know. I know we'll have another show, but Zane Trace will be on Tuesday the 22nd. Mm-hmm. And then
Southeastern on the 29th.
Southeastern a week later. That's at Southeastern on the 29th.
Right.
And then we turn around on Saturday the 2nd and go to Piketon. So
right.
three straight non-league games, three straight SVC games, I guess, there. So
yeah, I've already been informed by the executive producer of our production, Bruce Cakes Knox, that we should have one Shane Combs on next week.
Yeah,
as guest.
No, I'm sure that'd be awesome.
Because he is like a walking encyclopedia.
He knows his SVC, and plus we've got, for that matter, our girls play Uniota on the 23rd. So yeah, so there's another SVC game there.
Our girls are playing Uniota.
Yeah, they play Uniota.
For that matter, let's just get Shane, let's get Coach Bentley, and call Milhouse over to Uniota.
Yes.
We'll make it a party.
Yeah, that'd be a big roundtable discussion.
That'd be something to get into. So, tell you what, for Matt Combs, Carl Knox, and thanks for listening to another edition of the Viking Roundball Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.